What's up, Bench Warmers? Welcome in episode 82 of the Far End of the Bench podcast. Jimmy Pilato, Nico Bryant. We have our announcement of our different platform moving forward. It's playoff time, NBA, NHL, both underway. It's NFL draft week. So with that, today's episode is focused mainly around the NFL draft. We're going to look back at former guest of the show, Peter Andrasani, founder of PTV Sports Network on YouTube. He has his 2.0 mock draft. We're going to take a look at that, see if we agree, disagree with where he has people picked. Then Nico and I are going to give you our predictions for the top 10 of the NFL draft, and Nico will give a quick prediction for the Nuggets game that you guys are going to be watching along with us tonight, and see if the Nuggets are able to force another game in that series against Golden State. Then Friday, we'll be back and have an episode recapping the Nuggets game and taking a look at the rest of the playoffs, both NBA and NHL-wise. We're going to be doing two episodes per week moving forward throughout these playoffs, Wednesday and Friday. So follow at FEOTB Pod, all social medias. Follow on your podcast listening platform. Leave a five-star rating and a review. And just know, the next few weeks, it's going to be two episodes per week. We're going to try and keep you as informed and as up-to-date as possible. Hopefully, we're getting a big, long playoff run. The Nuggets are going to come back, win this series after being down 3-0, and the Avalanche are going to go on a run and get themselves out of the rut that they're in. But, Nick, it's playoff time. And
It's completely playoff time, but, man, we got to talk a little bit of football here because I know we can never get enough of football in this state now that both of our teams are good.
Yep, football is king, and the NFL is taking over this week with the NFL draft.
Bust my line, a couple beautiful girls tell me goodbye. Trucks break down, dogs run off, politicians lie, been fired by the balls, it takes
one. All right, Bench Warmers, it's now full on playoff mode. NHL playoffs will start next week. It's NFL draft, which we all know that's when business tends to kick up. The NFL is king. This NFL draft is about to pull a 14 rating, which is going to be like 10 times higher than the best NBA playoff game so in this television season.
No, I have to remind me, Jimmy. I know the NFL's king.
Yeah, so that's coming up on Thursday, and then NBA playoffs. We have our first advance, New York, Brooklyn. You didn't even put up a fight, so we'll talk a little bit more NBA playoffs because we're going to be splitting episodes. We'll might as well just put that out there first. We're going to be doing two episodes a week now, not as long in length, but we're going to try and keep up with the playoffs going as much as possible, and we can't really do that if we're doing one episode a week. So today we're going to be doing mostly NFL draft. We're going to be looking at a mock draft from a former guest of the show, Peter Andrasani of PTV Sports Network. So go check out that interview that we did with him and his YouTube channel. But we'll be looking at his mock draft, and then Nico and I will give a look at our top 10 picks. But we haven't really been it's not as dire of a situation as it was when we were sitting here a year ago. That's for sure.
That's because we were both picking in the top 10 last year. Your team was on the brink of disaster. My team was in disaster, and then 1 year, literally a full calendar year, your team makes the Super Bowl, my team gets one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league easily. Yeah. So that's it's very nice knowing I don't have to worry about a draft again where I'm analyzing which quarterback is going to hurt less when we draft him, or which person we're going to miss out on because we're reaching on somebody. So it makes my life easier.
It's the first time, I think, in our lifetimes that both of our teams have their franchise quarterback set for at least the foreseeable future, and it feels great. I don't have to stress. I don't have to worry about seeing Andy Dalton play in my playoff games anymore. Before we get into looking at this mock draft, this is it's labeled his 2.0 mock draft. I believe as you're listening to this, Peter just launched his final mock draft before the actual event coming up Thursday. We're not going to be, obviously we didn't do as much content around the draft as we did last season. And we won't be doing as much, but Friday, you will be able to hear us break down all of the NBA playoffs. By that time, we'll know if the Nuggets are in or they're in or they're out from here on out for the Denver Nuggets. And that will be the end of the regular season for the NHL. So we'll talk about those things Thursday. Follow at FEOTB Pod. The new episode drops will be Wednesday and Friday moving forward, and we'll be sure to blast those out on our social medias. And then wherever you're listening, follow on your podcasting platform, leave a 5-star rating and review. Okay, let's go ahead. We can get into this. You got the, you have the chime ready? I feel like we should remind everybody. There you go.
I'll just voice. I don't have the chime ready, but I'll.
That's fine. So this is PTV Sports Mock Draft 2.0. Be sure to check out that video. I'll link it here on our channel. Subscribe to his channel. Subscribe to our channel while you're at it. But we're kicking things off. Jacksonville, number one overall pick. And at number one, we see Aiden Hutchinson. We'll go, I'll bust out the five picks at a time. So Jacksonville goes Aiden Hutchinson. Detroit goes Kayvon Thibodeau. Houston, Ekwonu, tackle from NC State. The Jets at number four, Ahmad Gardner, Sauce Gardner from Cincinnati, the cornerback who did not allow a touchdown in his last two seasons of college football. And then the New York Giants finish out the top five with Charles Cross, who's a tackle from Mississippi State. We expected this last year, or not last year, when we were talking a little bit last week, that it's a possibility we don't see a true offensive skill position go until maybe after pick number 10. It's a possibility. And right now in the top five, three of the five are defensive players, and then two are offensive tackles. So it's a meat and potatoes type of draft. That's where this draft is deep.
The big surprise out of PTV's mock draft is my number one tackle is Evan Neal. I don't understand why Evan Neal would not be the first guy off the board here. The first left tackle off the board. I don't understand. I mean, I'm not familiar with Cross. I'm not familiar with Ekwonu, but if you're looking at what Evan Neal faces on a daily basis in the SEC, if you're a team that's looking for a tackle, which Houston is, which the Jets maybe, and maybe the Giants as well, if you're one of those teams, you go get the guy that's proven. Because because those three teams, Houston obviously have Davis Mills, so that's a little bit of a different outlier. Jets, you want to protect Zach Wilson, obviously the guy you picked last year that jumped out of the pool. Evan Neal can play right tackle very easily, and that's going to be massive to secure that up. Look what happened when the Bengals did not have a tackle the first year that they threw Burrow out there. You have to have protection for those young quarterbacks. And the Giants, if you think that Daniel Jones is the guy, you have to protect him at all costs and get a guy like Evan Neal that can run downhill and make Saquon Barkley's life easier because the guy can't physically stay on the field. So that's where my surprise here. The other surprise, obviously, his mock draft, we'll get to here in a minute, where I think the number one draft pick, all the rumors have been swirling, will go to. Well, Hutchinson, in my opinion, will be staying in Detroit. What I saw was the Jacksonville general manager was with the 49ers who drafted the likes of Alden Smith Nick Bosa. He was on both those teams, and he's the type of guy that loves the Big Ten football and likes to get a proven pass rusher. I think Hutchinson is good, but I don't know if he's really that guy. You look at a guy like Trayvon Walker. I think Trayvon Walker may be one of the best edge rushers in this draft. I compare it almost to Von Miller in 2011 or whatever, 2012, whatever year it was when the Broncos took him. There was guys out there like the likes of the guy from there's a lot of names on the board outside of Vaughn that the Broncos were looking at number two. If you'll get an edge rusher, but I saw what Vaughn did on tape and said we can mold him the right way. And I think Jacksonville believes that they can do that. Hutchinson, I think with the Jaguars, I don't think Hutchinson can be the focal point they wanted to be. If you look at the Boses, you look at the Watts of the world, they were successful when they had opposing help, and Jacksonville doesn't have that at all. And if you get a guy like Aiden Hutchinson, you're going to need help from somewhere else, which they may get it from the guy like Josh Allen or Miles Jack, but those dudes aren't ready yet. They're not ready at all yet. And I think Trayvon Walker would be more of a project and be more of a home run swing. And if you're the Jaguars, you're just hoping for home run swings at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Trayvon Walker was good, but Trayvon Walker was playing in a system where he wasn't the featured defensive lineman like he's going to be in Detroit. So can he really be? Because it was Jordan Davis. He had the two best inside tackles playing with him as well. And then it freed up a lot of space to rush on the edge. So I think you could say the argument that you make about Hutchinson not necessarily being able to do that at the next level, and we've seen Trayvon Walker be that guy. If he goes to Detroit, it's not going to be like they're sliding protection any other way than Trayvon Walker.
I was saying him go first to Jacksonville and Hutchinson be at number two. But either or, that applies to both teams.
Yeah, I think that there's pros and cons to both. The one guy that I'm sure everybody is now aware people are starting to be out on is Kayvon Thibodeau. Kayvon Thibodeau, there's rumors swirling about his work ethic and want to play football, and it's the worst time possible for that to come out when you can go back and start watching film and you find plays where people are passing him up in pursuit of the ball when it's 10, 15, 20 yards downfield. If you don't have relentless effort on defense, you're not going to be able to make a very successful career for yourself in the NFL.
Yeah, I like Thibodeau he would have been the number one pick, would have been the beginning of before college football season last year. He was by far and away the most talented defensive end in college football before the season started. Obviously, Aiden Hutchinson changed that. But what he brings to the table with his size, it's a very similar to guys like Randy Gregory out of Nebraska, who the Broncos just got. Guys that are just tall, lengthy, that are just big human beings. And they said he had all the tools, but it's
got to make sure that he wants to do it.
It's the drive. And people, this is a completely different scenario, but I compare this to the Laramie Tunsil situation. The Tunsil should have been a top five pick. All that shit came out before the draft, and then also the smoke mask did not help. The bong mask did not help either, but that shit just made him drop like no other. And look at him now, he's almost out of the league. Like if you're Detroit, if you're Jacksonville, if you're one of these top five, maybe even top 10, do you take a swing on a guy you don't know is going to be around? If you're a place, if you're a team like Houston, Detroit, or Jacksonville, do you really think Kayvon Thibodeau would come in and be like, oh, this franchise is something and I can turn this around? No. No. The Jaguars, no. Detroit, hell no. Houston, no. The only places that make sense would be one of the New Yorks, and neither New York team wants him.
Yeah. I think of those three places, Dan Campbell would be the coach that might be able to get the most out of him because he seems to be the guy that people will go to battle for. The other two places have just the worst culture. Like, we all remember Jacksonville in the AFC Championship in 2015. They all blew up because none of them, they didn't have a culture to keep sticking around and doing what they needed to do to be successful. So Jacksonville isn't a place where people want to go, I think, at this point. I think Kayvon Thibodeau is not doing himself any favors going into the draft day. 6 through 11, Carolina at number 6 trades with Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh then drafts quarterback Malik Willis out of Liberty for number 6. That's the first trade in this draft. The Giants, with their pick from last season from Chicago, they take Derek Stingley Jr., the cornerback from LSU. Atlanta, in a trade with Green Bay. Green Bay is going to move up 20. This one I had, there's no shot this happens. They move up 21 spots to number 8, and Green Bay picks Garrett Wilson. So not only did they move up in the draft, they drafted a wide receiver in the first round and gave Aaron Rodgers a weapon. I don't think that's happening. And then Seattle, Evan Neal is tackle at Alabama. 10, the Jets, in a trade with San Francisco for Deebo Samuel. So Deebo Samuel goes to New York to play for the Jets. And then San Francisco drafts Drake London, the wide receiver out of USC. And at 11, Washington sits tight, because there's rumors that they might want to trade out of the first round, and they draft what I think is one of the best safety prospects we've seen, similar to the Isaiah Simmons a couple of years ago. I think this is the most versatile defensive guy that you're going to be seeing in this draft, at Kyle Hamilton, the safety out of Notre Dame. The dude is an absolute monster. The speed to play at the safety position, he can play cornerback, and he can also, he has the size, he's like 210 pounds. He could play in the box and be a linebacker as well. So he's one of my favorite guys in this entire draft.
That's a guy that I'd be very, very surprised if he's there at 11. If he's there at 11, Washington's jumping on there. But I'd be very, very surprised if
that defense becomes, because you get a healthy Chase Young back, and
you have your back and you have your front. Like that's as terrible as that franchise is on the offensive side of football, they can figure it out on the defensive side. That makes life a lot easier, especially with Ron Rivera, who's a defensive minded coach. That's a dream scenario. Let's talk about the first pick here. First of all, I don't think Pittsburgh's going to jump that high for Malik Willis. I think if he drops to them, I don't think that they trade up from, what is it, from 18, 19? What
were they? I think they would be – I think they were 18.
They would not jump that high all the way up to 6 from Malik Willis. I think they're going to – they'd sit on their hands and rather just go with Pickett or deal with Trubisky. As shitty as that sound, that makes a lot more sense. Malik Willis, I think I said it last week's show, I think he has the best shot at being good next in the pros of everyone out of this draft class. But that's not
Pittsburgh would be moving up from 20, by the way.
Yeah, this is Daniel Jones trading up. This is Trubisky trading up for Trubisky for the Bears. This is just as bad for a guy that, like, I don't understand that at all. That, going forward on that, Stingley, I've been hearing about, it could be Sauce Gardner and Stingley, both top five picks. And I've been hearing that too. Both those dudes have been jumping boards. Those two dudes have been animals, and just everyone's been falling in love with those two guys.
Sauce might be like the top overall player in this draft, pound for pound, position for position. Sauce Gardner, what he did at a high level in college football and against the best, like even it going against Alabama, he didn't get beat. He just doesn't get beat. Doesn't give up touchdowns. He's going to come in and make an impact in this league. And Derek Stingley is the next best thing. I think there's some people that are starting to try and say that he's not, but he goes up against the best wide receivers in the country every single week. And he does a damn good job at it.
Yeah, Stingley, I mean, if he's there for the Giants at 5, they may just take him, not even at 7. Mm-hmm. I think one of those two picks, they'll have an eye on him. Or, let's be honest, the Giants will pick one of Sauce Gardner or Stingley Jr., probably if, like, whoever's there at 5, and probably hopefully one of them is at 7 there as well. So I would not be surprised with that. And then the Garrett Wilson trade, hey, look, it's fun. It's fun. It's a good conversation to have. But do we really think that in a loaded, what people are saying, loaded wide receiver draft, that you take, you go up and from pick 29, what is it, 29 they're at?
20. Or 20. No, 20 was Pittsburgh. Green Bay is 28. They would be moving from 28 to
I don't know where they're going to find the capital to do that and why they would do that for Garrett Wilson in general, because I don't even know if Garrett Wilson will be the number one guy. People are saying maybe it's Jameson Williams, Olave, Drake London. It's 2 years, draft 2 years ago all over again, where you had Ruggs, Lamb, Judy, Jefferson. All those dudes before the draft were about even with one another. Obviously, things have changed since then, but this is the exact same scenario where – if you believe in a dude, you don't jump up 30 spots. You maybe jump up 10 spots and be like, well, I like him over that. And the Packers, like, look, they need a weapon.
If they can make that work, this makes a lot of sense.
If they don't draft a receiver here, it'll be an absolute travesty for Aaron Rodgers, and he would be hoping he would have came to Denver. But I don't understand why they would do this. If you're Atlanta, why would you not take a receiver? Yeah.
Atlanta could draft anywhere and it would be an upgrade from what they have.
There's two spots with what Atlanta could do here. There's a quarterback, because Mariota, I don't know if they believe in Mariota. They've already come out and said that they're going to draft a quarterback. They don't know when, but they will draft a quarterback this year. And two, you just lost your number one and your number two receivers in 2 years in a row. Calvin Ridley will not play his football this year. Julio Jones is gone next year. Who is Mariota gonna like throw to? You have to at least have some weapon to make it interesting. Obviously, Cordarrelle Patterson is still there, but he's out of the backfield. You have to have something there. I wouldn't be surprised if this pick was Garrett Wilson, but not Green Bay. That's my thoughts on it.
It made sense that Atlanta would go with a wide receiver at that spot. The Jets trade, it was interesting. Like, preface this, Peter is a Jets fan, so it makes sense as that. There's your answer as as to why it happened.
Well, the Jets are one of the teams that left Neville, but why would Debo want to go to fucking New York Jets?
Unless you really unless he loved Robert Saleh when Saleh was in San Francisco, I had seen no other reason as to why you would leave. The other reasoning that I heard for Debo possibly wanting out of San Francisco is the fact that he gets used at running back so much. He's going to get paid as a weapon and not paid as a receiver, and also playing running back. He's going to lose out on years on his career, quote unquote, because you have the higher likelihood of getting injured. So it may be he would like to stay in San Francisco, but he wants to play receiver only. And that's not what his role is in that offense.
I still feel like he stays. I feel like he's still in a dream scenario. Well, if he's really complaining about playing in a position and you really want to downgrade or about go even with from Jimmy Garoppolo / Trey Lance to Zach Wilson, I'm sorry. You it makes sense if he goes to Dallas or if he goes to Baltimore or somewhere else. He would not want to go to the Jets, and 49ers would say fuck you and just say screw you to the Jets and take him there. But I mean the Jets were apparently in the Tyreek Hill running as well for whatever reason, but either way I don't understand this. I want to, before we move on to the next one, Evan Neal at 9, like I said, I think he's way off the board before there. I think Seattle, that's where I think maybe the first quarterback comes off the board. I think it is. Unless they get Baker Mayfield, I think they draft a quarterback in the top. That's where my first quarterback will come off the board. If Malik Willis is there, I think he's there. He's in Seattle.
I think that's going to set Seattle on a very Denver-esque course. And not saying that I feel bad about it. I just think that's going to be a big mistake that's going to set the franchise back 2 to 3 years.
Either way, Drew Lock's gonna set your franchise back 2 or 3 years, so you gotta figure something out.
Yeah, but I feel if the Seahawks want to take a quarterback, you could trade out of the top 10 and take a quarterback.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not like anybody's chomping at the bit behind you.
Unless wild things happen and Pickett and Malik Willis both get off the board before you, then you can trade back and possibly get another quarterback or get Corral in the second round or the guy from Cincinnati. I can't space on his name.
Ritter.
You can go get one of them in the second round or whatever, but I think Malik Willis is there to take it.
I learned the hard way my first draft that I covered on the radio station that it's either going to work out perfectly or I'm going to get absolutely none of these predictions right. Because it's gone both ways. Last year when we did our mock draft, we were like 10 for 10 through the first 10 picks. And then after that, it kind of fell apart. But then the first year, it was when Baker went number one. And I was like, oh, shit. I think the only one that I got right in the top 10 that year was Bradley Chubb to the Broncos because it made too much sense. All right, moving on. Number 12, Minnesota. They draft Trent McDuffie, a cornerback out of Washington. Houston, then, with their second pick of the first round, Trevon Walker, edge rusher from Georgia, who we talked about earlier. Baltimore picks up Tremaine Johnson, another edge rusher. That one from Florida State is very good, very, very good edge rusher. He's a sneaky guy. If you fall in love with him, that's a guy you could – possibly see going off in the top 10. After that, Philadelphia for their first pick in the first round, Jameson Williams, wide receiver from Alabama, obviously fell a little bit because of the injury at the end of the season. New Orleans at 16 then picks Trevor Penning, the tackle from Northern Iowa, and number 17, the LA Chargers. Some people starting to say the AFC West favorite LA Chargers. I know how we feel about them here. They picked Zion Johnson, a guard out of Boston College. Very good, solid player who's either going to come in and maybe solidify a center position if Corey Linsley, God forbid, gets injured or anything like that. But him playing guard next to a Rashawn Slater, that offensive line gets a lot better with a guy like Zion Johnson. So those are next five picks.
If Houston has Trevon Walker fall to them at 13, once you get past 11, if Kyle Hamilton off the board and Trevon Walker is still there, I don't care who's on the board. You take Trevon Walker, in my opinion. He's a top 10 talent. If he's there at 13, you absolutely jump on that. Baltimore, with Tremaine Johnson, that to me, he's an absolutely outstanding rusher, but I still think Baltimore is looking for another weapon. Possibly. I think they're looking at how good this class is and they remember how much they missed out on a receiver 2 years ago. And they may take a swing on one of the big names. I don't hate picking Jermaine Johnson, but I think they may take a swing on bigger name. Philly with Jameson Williams. I think Jameson Williams out of the big four. When I say four, I say Olave, London, Williams, and London. There it is. Yeah. There's the four. Out of the four, I think Jameson Williams will be the last one because of the injury taken off the board. I could see them taking Olave over them, but if you're Philly and you land one of those receivers, you could not be happier to give Jalen Hurts a weapon. I don't think Jameson Williams ever played with Jalen Hurts. That's why those people are probably taking him to go there. So I don't know if there's anything there, but that doesn't sound too bad at all.
No, and the reasoning behind that pick for their 15th was Philadelphia, if they're going to commit to Jalen Hurts, they would need to get him a weapon. And they didn't play with each other in college. Jameson Williams was too young. And I think actually Jameson Williams would have been playing the year that Hurts was at Oklahoma. Yeah. So they missed each other just by that one season. That's not necessarily going to be a connection, but if Jameson Williams is healthy, Jameson Williams, top two receiver in this class. I know the guys from Ohio State, the Ohio State twins are great. And if you put them together, they're probably better, but he's Jameson Williams was a different level.
If the Eagles do land Jameson Williams, imagine that. That's a great receiving core you have alongside Devontae Smith. Mm-hmm. Man, no,
those two were deadly in college. Deadly together. Deadly in the NFL.
So it makes a lot of sense for them to take him.
Yeah. New Orleans getting Trevor Penning broke my heart because I told you Trevor Penning's my guy. That dude is nasty. He plays with a chip on his shoulder coming out of Northern Iowa. There's the footage of him from the Senior Bowl might be my favorite footage ever since. The guard for the – what's his first name? The guard for Garrett Nelson, right?
Quentin Nelson.
Since Quentin Nelson chasing down that – picking up that blitz against Georgia, this is my favorite video of watching Trevor Penning just have the best defensive lineman going against him in the country and absolutely pissing them off, going after it after the whistle. He's going to be – if he gets in New Orleans, they pick up right where they left off without Ramczyk because they're in a good spot. He's a good guy to help protect Jameis Winston, and he helps out in the running game because he's an absolute mauler up front. He's going to be a dude.
Why is New Orleans not in the quarterback race?
Because they believe in Jameis. What are you talking about?
I mean, I guess wait till next year, I guess.
Yes, yeah.
Their cap is horrendous, though, and I get it, but – I mean,
yeah, that's why Sean Payton was like, yeah, I'm good. Also, Sean Payton was like, I'm good here, and I'm going to get traded to Miami where Tom Brady's my quarterback. Like I said, the Zion Johnson pick does make the Chargers better, but the Chargers have to overcome, like, a stigma about themselves. The only other time that they've ever made it past the championship round of the playoffs was in 1994, and they got smoked in that Super Bowl. So the Chargers, until they prove themselves otherwise, can just be a cute story in the offseason.
I don't understand this pick at all. Why would the Chargers go after an offensive lineman? They already have a pretty solid one. You picked the best offensive lineman out of last year's draft.
They struggled running the football. They struggled stopping the run. They weren't very tough.
Well, let me tell you where they also struggled. The secondary, especially the corners. And you know who just came into the division? Russell Wilson and Devontae Adams.
Honestly, that's why I thought they would have gone edge rusher. I mean, if Jermaine Johnson isn't the pick for Baltimore, I think that's a good pick for
they don't need to with Mack and Bosa.
You can never, like, the Broncos are in the running for a pass rusher in the draft. Is what they're saying. You can never have enough pass rushers when you have this many elite quarterbacks in your division. You can send a wave of guys that are all pros, and then you send a wave of guys that were second team all pro because they got the second team reps, even though they were still producing at that high of a level. So then moving on to pick number 18, Philadelphia's second pick of the first round. They end up getting Jordan Davis.
If Philly out of Georgia. Lance, Jameson Williams and Jordan Davis, they're gonna have to apart.
Makes up for the Jalen Reagor pick right there. That's gonna make up for it. At 19, New Orleans with their second pick of the first round, they pick up Chris Olave, wide receiver from Ohio State. Carolina gets Kenny Pickett at number 20. It would be
they got from Pittsburgh.
Yep, out of Pittsburgh. That's the thing. What I've been hearing is that the Steelers like Kenny Pickett a lot, and nobody else necessarily loves him. So Kenny Pickett could probably be at 20, like they're predicting, but Pittsburgh could get him at 20, and they wouldn't have to move up the 18 picks or whatever it was and draft Malik Willis. Malik Willis has – I know that Mike Tomlin has said that he's interested. Kenny Pickett's right across the street. They know what Kenny Pickett is going to be. So – that makes a little bit more sense to me at 20, but they have Carolina picking him at number 20. 21, New England would get Devin Lloyd, linebacker out of Utah, which is a deadly pick for Bill Belichick. He's a solid linebacker, very fundamentally sound, and he's going to get coached up well. And Atlanta, number 22, Treylon Burks, wide receiver out of Arkansas. That it was a shock.
Am I missing something? Oh, there is Drake London not in his first round?
Yes, yeah, Drake London was picked already. Where was it? I saw it.
I don't think he's in here, Jimmy.
Oh, wow.
Garrett Wilson's there. I don't think Drake London's here.
Wow. I did not realize that.
Yeah, I don't understand this at all.
You guys should go watch the video. Here it is. At number 10, San Francisco picked Drake London after their trade with the Jets for Debo Samuel. I was going to say, you guys would have to
– I know he was there somewhere.
You should do it anyways. Go and watch Peter's video of the mock draft and listen to – it was him and one of his co-hosts. They kind of have a rotation. So go watch the video and hear their reactions. Make sure that we're doing them justice and actually make – saying they picked the right guys. But yeah, that pick, if it wasn't Garrett Wilson, it didn't, or Drake London hadn't been picked in the first round, it wouldn't have made a lot of sense. Arizona at number 23 picks George Karlaftis, edge rusher out of Purdue.
Yeah, losing Chandler Jones. They are definitely going to be picking up an edge rusher. I think that's number one on their list.
Yeah.
They may be one of those teams that may be in the running to trade up for Tremaine Johnson if he falls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or you know who I was surprised they didn't have? They have him going. I'll just kind of spoil it. 32, Nakobe Dean, linebacker out of Georgia. I thought Nakobe Dean was
the top 15 talent.
Oh, man, he is. He in that national championship game, if you want to point to a single person, like Jordan Davis made an impact, Trevon Johnson had an impact on the game. Nakobe Dean literally made every single play. Or was in within 3 yards of every single play. If you were to grade out his film and give him a plus minus as to whether or not he either made the tackle, broke up the pass, or was within 3 yards of the pile, he would have gotten a plus on 95% of the plays in that national championship game. The dude is an absolute stud. If he falls as far as they say, if he gets to 31 and the Bengals don't draft him, I know that we have a good enough linebacking core. It's rumored now that Jesse Bates isn't going to get re-signed. We should probably fill in some of the other parts of our defense so that I can cry in peace.
That would be one of the cheapest things your team would have ever done then.
Yeah, hey, but we put up a portable indoor facility while our other one is still being debated as to whether or not it can be built.
Yeah, you got that going for you at least.
I'm not saying it's good. Any shot that the Broncos trade back up in the first round, do you think?
No. There's 0% chance. There's 0% chance.
It was just floated.
They may trade up to an earlier secondary pick. They may go on jump in the second round.
They've shown to do that the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. After Arizona, Dallas at number 24 picks up Kenyon Green, a guard out of Texas A&M, and their rationale was correct. I don't necessarily know if Kenyon Green would be the guy. I would pick Linderbaum before I picked him if I'm going to go interior offensive line. But the Dallas Cowboys in the span of like 4 years went from one of the best offensive line units in the league to now one of the worst, losing Lyle Collins in free agency. Thank you very much. And so they need to replenish that. And this is one of the steps to possibly do that. Plus, you don't have cap. Like, the Cowboys cap situation is the worst in the entire NFL.
Terrible,
it
yeah.
doesn't, the cap means nothing, and they're going to be able to circumvent it, but you're going to, you don't want to be paying huge contracts to your rookies, even though you have the wage scale in your back pocket. So exactly. Kenyon Green is kind of the safest pick, and he is rumored, like, he can play center, he can play guard. So he's versatile in that area. He's very athletic is what I've seen out of his film also. Buffalo at 25, Andrew Booth Jr. He's a cornerback out of Clemson. He's – it's kind of – the corners in this draft are very too high at the very top with Sauce Gardner and Derek Stingley. After that, it's a little bit of a drop-off, so that's why that's why you see such a big gap between the next cornerback taken. Andrew Booth Jr. is a first-round athlete. He's a first-round talent. He's going to have to learn how to play cornerback at the NFL level. Because in college, you play a lot of zone because you don't have time to install super crazy complex defenses. So he's going to have to be able to play man coverage against very good receivers in Buffalo. And it might work out for him. I think that Buffalo has shown to be a good place where they can develop guys, but that's kind of a, I feel like that's a little bit of a reach out of Buffalo. If I'm going to be honest.
At 25, this is where you get in the range of, For me to get to Breeze Robinson, is that his last name? Robinson, Breeze, the running back. Breeze Hall, there it is. Breeze Hall, this is where that range comes in because Singletary has been good. Zach Moss has been good for them, but they're not healthy. They don't stay consistently. And one thing that Buffalo has been lacking, they have outstanding weapons on offense outside of one position as the running back. They can have a young guy that sits behind Singletary for a year, and that's a Javonte Williams type guy. They may take the jump at Breeze Hall there at 25 for Buffalo to be the first receiver or first running back to come off the board in the draft.
Yeah, I like Breeze Hall a lot. He did a lot of good things at Iowa State, and it'd be funny if Buffalo did draft him because Singletary was the running back at Iowa State before Breeze Hall was recruited there. And I love what Matt Campbell did with that Hawkeye program. They're getting to the point where they're actually kind of a competitive football team year in and year out. So Breeze Hall would make a lot of sense. Andrew Booth, I don't know why that would have been.
I feel like that's just too much of Breeze. They all
I feel like it was kind of like a reaction to the end of that playoff game when it wasn't their personnel that was on the field. It was just the shitty technique that they played with. Like, they didn't execute at the end of the game and let Tyreek Hill just run 15-yard out routes and didn't try and keep him in bounds at all. It wasn't because you didn't have good enough players on your defensive side. They just didn't understand the scheme well enough to understand how to win the game. So it seemed like a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction pick to me.
I'm not so long. This the it's top heavy for there's two names, and then everyone else just drops off for me.
I don't think there's another first round corner besides those top two.
There's really not.
Number 26, Tennessee, Tyler Linderbaum, the center. Linderbaum, the center out of Iowa, that broke my heart also because if I can't get Penning, then I would like Linderbaum. And that would be – I mean, we have a solid – we've kind of solidly built our offensive line through free agency, but we're going to need to draft offensive linemen as well because when you draft them, you have the lower wage scale initially and you have the ability to hold on to them for 5 years. That's what's saving us with Jonah Williams right now. He was our first-round pick back in I think it was the season before we picked Burrow. And
2 years before one of those two.
It was 2 years before we picked Burrow and he didn't play his rookie year, but now we have him locked up in an extra year. You guys did it with Bulls. And the fifth year option,
smart.
It helps.
It's smart. Yeah, it absolutely helps.
Well, and Tennessee needs an upgrade at the center position. Ben Jones has been okay, but if you're going to look at a weak point of that Tennessee offensive line, it's the center.
Absolutely. I think there's some other spots. The thing with Tennessee that makes everything interesting here is A.J. Brown's situation. A.J. Brown is a guy that has the same agent as Deebo, has the same agent as
Scary Terry,
who are all trying to get big deals. If A.J. Brown's on the move, Tennessee may use that to jump up, to get one of the big names if they drop. I don't see that out of the question at all, because you got Bobby Trees over there, and that's a great 1-2 punch. But if AJ Brown's out of the equation, you're gonna have to take the load off of King Henry a little bit. I know we think the guy's invincible, but you have to take the load off him a little bit. So I wouldn't be surprised. I agree. I still think their defense needs some work. They could use another inside linebacker, in my opinion.
Yeah, they just let Jayon Brown walk too.
Yeah, if Nakobe Dean is there for them, I would not be surprised if he went
there. Don't say that. He's got to follow 31, Nico.
I know.
Tony 7, Tampa Bay picks up Devontae Wyatt, which is the other interior defensive lineman, the one that you couldn't see behind Jordan Davis because Jordan Davis is the size of my truck. He's other interior lineman out of Georgia. That I don't think that they should go interior D-line. I think that their interior D-line is solid where it is with Sue. I know that he's getting older, but he's still playing at a good level, and Vita Vea. So I think your interior is solid, but you don't necessarily have the linebackers we thought you had after that Super Bowl season. Devin White and Levante David had down years. So you could go inside linebacker with Nakobe Dean, like we're saying. His name's going to keep popping up, or you can go an edge rusher, pick up somebody else that's going to be a little bit more immediately impactful. Interior D linemen don't really do much unless they're Aaron Donald. Unless you're 99, you don't necessarily make that big of an impact coming into the league as this an interior spot, defensive lineman.
This is another spot for me. Tampa Bay may go up, may get a DB or another just a load up back there. I know you have Winfield back there. I think they would greatly see the improvements of the defense if they went and got one of those a corner at the back end of the draft, maybe early second round, just to bolster it up a little bit in a division that is worse for wear right now, is terrible, but it never hurts to have enough corners.
Yeah. After that one, Atlanta at number 28, Travis Jones, defensive lineman out of UConn. It was a little bit of a surprise pick. He's a guy that's moving up boards quickly, but Atlanta has bigger problems to worry about than interior defensive line play. They could solidify their run defense in other ways, like better linebackers, better safeties. You don't need to draft a nose tackle. I hate drafting nose tackles in the first round. I said it with Derek Brown out of Auburn. Yeah, I said it when Carolina picked Derek Brown out of Auburn over Isaiah Simmons. I was like, that's going to be the dumbest decision. I got in a fight with my offensive line coach at Western. He's like, no, that's great. Like, it makes sense. I said, what interior defensive lineman had been drafted in top 10 and brought you to a Super Bowl? And he couldn't give me one. I said, edge rusher, Von Miller.
It's edge rusher galore. You can get good interior defensive linemen in the back half of the draft. People forget there's freaks of nature that play D2 football that play on these small schools.
Will Lytle.
Yeah, they're just massive human beings that you can just plug in and play. Draymond Jones, for Pete's sake, he was a guy Broncos drafted in the third round. He's going to be the centerpiece on the D-line going into next year alongside B.J. Jones. There's names all over the board.
The guy that they traded, Shelby Harris, is going to be the centerpiece of the Seattle defense this upcoming season.
He was the first round pick. I don't hate – you love a guy that much. I don't hate back into the first round. Top 10, hell no.
And this is their second or third pick of the first round. This would be a very similar to the Raiders draft. Remember when they picked Cleveland Farrell and they had three picks in the first round, and I feel like they botched all three of them. It didn't go well. So that would be – I don't like that pick for Atlanta. I don't know. I would disagree with you, Peter. 29, Kansas City. They picked up Christian Watson, who's a wide receiver out of North Dakota State.
As long as this is not Jameson Williams, I don't care.
If Jameson Williams falls that far,
I will shed a real tear. I will shed a real tear.
It's over. But Russ hasn't played. It doesn't matter. It's over. Kansas City picks right again in number 30. Go figure. Kyler Gordon, they picked a corner out of Washington. So the other both corners from Washington go in the first round. Cincinnati rounds out the rest of the picks that we haven't revealed yet. They picked Kerr Elam, a corner out of Florida, which that makes sense because the two offensive line guys that I would have picked in the first round weren't available.
Yeah, if you're not going to take a lineman, you take a corner because those motherfuckers are burnt toast out back there.
Unless it's N'Kobe Dean. Unless N'Kobe Dean is sitting there. Yeah. I would put N'Kobe Dean on my defense any day of the week, especially going with Logan Wilson and Jermaine Pratt. But, yeah, getting a cornerback would be helpful because I think we cut Trey Waynes and then we just re-signed him to a better deal for the team. So he's not actually gone.
You still have Awuzie, and I don't even remember his name, but you have the burnt toast on the other end that doesn't shut up. Having a
Eli Apple,
yeah. Having another corner would be nice.
It would be. It wouldn't be a bad thing. We have our
division that's getting a lot better at receiver position. You don't want to do that.
Yeah. Baltimore, I always hate the draft because Baltimore and Pittsburgh always draft well. The Bengals
makes me also think why they're not going to pick Pickett.
Yeah.
They're smarter than that. Tomlin's smarter than that. If he's in love with one quarterback, it'll be Malik Willis, but he's not going to reach on Pickett.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. So that's our interpretation of PTV's 2.0 mock draft. He obviously has a new one that dropped as you guys are listening to this one. Now Nico and I are going to predict our top 10 as it stands. So we're not going to I don't assume you're going to have no trades in your top 10.
Yeah, I'm not going to have any trades. I'll just go right along with it.
Number one overall, Jacksonville Jaguars select.
I have Trayvon Walker.
Trayvon Walker. That's how everything
– I don't think it's the right choice, but that's how everything has been leading towards the past week. All the rumblings has been Trayvon Walker number one.
Yeah. I don't think that they're going to go Aiden Hutchinson. I don't think that he fits into that style. I think that he's going to – I agree with you that he's probably going to be staying in Michigan and moving over to Detroit. And I don't think Kayvon Thibodeau is going to go number one overall as well. And with that, since people are talking about him moving up the board, I guess Trayvon Walker makes sense at number one. Because I don't think anybody else, none of the other players, that are talented enough. Yeah, Evan Neal, maybe. The thing about Evan Neal that people are starting to say is that he's 340 pounds. So is he going to be able to move at the NFL level? He was able to move at the college game, but
at Alabama,
there was the same.
So it's not like, yeah,
like it was the same argument that you heard about Orlando Brown Jr. Is he too big for his own good when he was coming out of college? And he proved that it wasn't going to affect him. So Neal could be that guy. But I honestly think with the rumors going around, unless it was a huge smoke screen set by somebody, Trayvon Walker is probably going to get picked number one because he's talented as Kayvon Thibodeau, and he seems to love football more than Kayvon Thibodeau does.
Yeah, very much so. So
number two, Detroit, you have Aiden Hutchinson going to Detroit?
I have Aiden Hutchinson number two. I think he stays there. I think Detroit would love to have a poster boy alongside they don't have a poster boy for this team right now.
Yeah.
You have a poster boy and a good edge rusher. You can start building like San Francisco did. You get one edge rusher, then you get a quarterback next year, and things all of a sudden get interesting for Detroit for the first time in 50 years.
Houston at number three. I think that they are going to pick Evan Neal there. I don't, because if Evan Neal doesn't go number one, I think that Houston, like you said, they need offensive linemen, and if they're going to take an offensive lineman in the top five, you might as well take the best one available. And that's not Ikem Okwuonwu, it's Evan Neal. Evan Neal is more than likely the number one offensive tackle in this year's draft class.
Houston, I'm gonna have them take Sauce. I think Sauce is jumping, and I think Houston would love to have that number one lockdown corner. That obviously, look, getting a tackle would be nice, but you don't have a quarterback to right now to be able to protect. Davis Mills gets hurt, you throw in whoever you want. I think Sauce Gardner is that good of a talent, so I have him going at three to Houston more than likely.
All right, then at number four, who do the Jets get for their
Jets?
For their
first pick? That's where I go with Derek Stingley. That's where I think Stingley ends up. I think the Jets just fall in love with having. I think Saleh wants to have himself a centerpiece on the back end, and have an anchor for that team. I think Stingley has the pedigree and has such great line of film that is just going to be too much to pass up on at four.
Yeah, and with your pick, I mean, if if Gardner is picked at number three, I think the Jets are going to go defense, and I think that Saleh is going to go back into the defense. But I'm going to say Kyle Hamilton. They understand that Kyle Hamilton is a once-in-a-lifetime talent at that level, and he can play so many different positions on your defense. And a guy like Robert Saleh, who's a defensive-minded coach, is going to love having a chess piece like that. He's seen what Isaiah Simmons does. He's seen what these safeties do. And they lost Jamal Adams in that trade with Seattle. They thought they had their back end piece for a long time and re-solidify, you know, some sort of Legion of Boom type secondary. And Kyle Hamilton can be that. And he can also be your nickel linebacker or a cornerback. So I think they go Kyle Hamilton.
Jack of all trades. Yeah. Jack of all trades.
Number five, the New York Giants. I'm interested. Like, I don't necessarily know where they're going to go on this one. I think that there's rumors that they might want to get rid of Kadarius Toney. They might want to trade him. I don't know why they would do that. But if that is the case, I think that they're going to go for a receiver. And I think that they might go Garrett Wilson. Because Garrett Wilson, he's a little bit smaller of a body, but he route runs like none other. And if you had Kadarius Toney, he didn't do what you wanted him to do or do it well enough, you can kind of reload or retool with a guy like Garrett Wilson and comes in and fills that same role. So that's where I have the Giants going at five, was Garrett Wilson.
Yeah. Five for me. That's where I have Evan Neal going. I have Evan Neal dropping there. Neal, I think, is the guy that if you believe in Daniel Jones, he's the guy that will protect the right or left side, whatever side you're going to put on, and just be that anchor. You swung and missed on tackle last year, and you've swung and missed on a few guys here and there, but I think Evan Neal is the most sure thing at tackle in this year's draft. So that's where I have Evan Neal with the Giants there.
Number six Carolina. Who do you have the Panthers taking at six?
Panthers. Woo-wee. This is where I thought about quarterback, but I'm going to stick with what I said earlier. I think the Panthers take Kenny Pickett. I don't know why they're high on Kenny Pickett. I don't think Kenny Pickett is the number one quarterback in this draft class, but I think they take Kenny Pickett and they fall in love with him. It makes zero sense. But Carolina, it makes sense. It makes zero sense because Kenny Pickett is 1 year and one day till a day younger than Sam Darnold. It makes zero sense, and I think Carolina is turning into slowly football hell, and they're going to be drafting a quarterback next year as well. And I think Kenny Pickett, they swing on Kenny Pickett for no reason, and they go here. I don't think it's the right move, but I'm drafting how I think this will go, and I think Kenny Pickett will be at number six.
I see your Kenny Pickett, and I'm going to raise you another quarterback. Guess which quarterback? I don't think you're going to be able to pick.
It's probably going to be Corral.
Carson Strong.
Oh, my God.
Because don't hear me out.
Draft late? Oh, no, they don't
they
draft
do. Late. I mean, they do. But hear me out. Matt Rhule had his most recent success in college. Who is the most hyped quarterback that's only going to be able to have success in college football? Carson Strong. Matt Rhule's not smart enough to understand that his game is not going to translate. And I think that they're going to reach. He's going to say something stupid like he has been, like the whole Jay-Z, like took 10 years for Jay-Z to write the blueprint. It's like, are we going to suck for 10 years, Matt? What are we doing here? I think that he's going to panic, and I think he's broken, and it's going to be like Carson Strong. Are you sure? Yes, Carson Strong. That's who I want.
These last three drafts for the Panthers may set this franchise back 30 years. You think Derek Brown instead of Isaiah Simmons, the fucking corner they took last year instead of Surtain, and then now probably getting Pickett or Carson Strong in your instance. Yeah.
It would just be a lot of fun if it happened. It would give us fodder for the next 10 years. It would be great. Let's move a little bit quickly here through the rest of the top 10, and we'll send everybody off. We'll be back Thursday to talk NHL and NBA. We'll know whether or not the Nuggets move on at that point, so be on the lookout for that with our next episode coming out Friday. Number seven, the Giants with their second pick. What do you think the Giants are going to do with their second pick in the top?
So the first pick I had the Giants taking tackle. I think they shore up the full team. This is where I have Kyle Hamilton going. This is where I think he fits right in. He is the guy in New York. He is the guy on that second on that defense for New York. They can plug him right in. If New York ends up with Evan Neal and Evan Neal and what's his face? The guy, wow, I'm losing my mind. Evan Neal and Kyle Hamilton. There's another name. And you, if both Sauce Gardner and Derek Singh, like I'm predicting, are off the board, and you end up with Evan Neal and Kyle Hamilton, that's the perfect one to punch to get in the top 10, in my opinion. Because that's definitely the best offensive alignment in the draft, in my opinion. And it's one of the most versatile defensive players in this draft too, and that's a home run win for the Giants.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Giants picking the secondary, and they get Derek Stingley in my scenario. He's the only one that hasn't been taken yet. He's a top 10 player, so Derek Stingley at number 7 for the Giants. They end up getting a receiver and a corner in my scenario. 8 at Atlanta. I think this is where the other Ohio State receiver is gonna go. And it's going to be Chris Olave at number 8 going to the Falcons and teaming up with Kyle Pitts and Marcus Mariota and Cordell Patterson for the greatest show on turf 2.0.
I think they also pick receiver, but I want to go with Drake London. I've been hearing that Drake London may be the most raw talent. And one thing Atlanta is known for is falling in love with raw talent and turning into something. Yes, they're not very good at good with teams, but one thing they can produce is good receivers, and that's the likes of Roddy White, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley. I think they go get Drake London, that they fall in love with him. So that's why I have them taking an 8.
Number 9, where does Seattle go with the Broncos pick?
Seattle, I think, takes Kayvon Thibodeau. This is where Thibodeau lands. I think Seattle has a lot of things that they need to fix up. There's a lot of things, but one thing with the big left tackle name off the board, with no corners left on the board, with a few receivers, you don't need a receiver. You go get an edge rusher in Thibodeau and go take a swing on him, because he is a top 10 talent. There's no doubt he's a top 10 talent. And if he's there at 9, you take a swing on him and see if he's worth it. Because Seattle is a place where, even though they have Drew Lock right now, that's still a pretty good place people want to go play football at because of the city in their past. So I think Thibodeau is a perfect fit there for Seattle and slides right in.
I think that the Seahawks are going to go quarterback and they go Matt Corral. I think that of the quarterbacks that can go in the first round that Seattle might like, Corral fits the mold because he's a tough guy. He's proven that, played through a lot of injuries in his time in college, and winning the way that he did at Ole Miss, when you're not getting the best players out of that SEC talent pool that you're pulling from, that shows something. The injury, yes, I know, but I think the injury is what's going to cause him to get passed up by Carolina. That's why I don't think that he's going to go to the Panthers at number 6. I think he falls to Seattle at 9.
And you can afford to not have him play the first year.
He's going to be behind Drew Lock. You just hope that Drew Lock doesn't teach him how to be a professional quarterback. You just kind of put blinders on Matt and be like, don't listen. Whatever you do, don't listen to Drew. In fact, do the opposite of what Drew tells you to do. Listen to Drew, take it in, do the opposite. That's what you're going to do to be successful. And then finishing out the top 10, our last prediction for the 2022 draft, the New York Jets with the 10th pick select.
This is where I have Garrett Wilson going. I have Olave out of my top 10. I think Garrett Wilson is a much bigger body, a lot more closer to Michael Thomas in essence. Olave was the speedster, the guy that's just going to pick it up. And the Jets, look, Zach Wilson, who knows what he's going to look like. But if you have Elijah Moore, who had a very, very underrated year at wide receiver for them, who obviously was hit under the fucking horrendousness that is the New York Jets. If you go get Garrett Wilson and have Wilson and then Elijah Moore on the outside, and you go get a corner in the top 4, you just secured the outside completely for the next 5-6 years very, very easily. Then all you got to worry about is your running game and then the inside game. But your outside game all of a sudden looks very, very promising. So that's where I have Garrett Wilson going.
Yeah, I have the Jets taking – they're going to stick with Peter's pick of Drake London. If Drake London is as good as he says he is, I think that the Jets, they'll see him as a good complement to Elijah Moore. And they'll want to pair him, get Zach Wilson another tool that they can try and attack people with, because they when they were able to punch people in the mouth last year, I mean, the Bengals were firsthand victims of it. The Jets, if they bullied you, could be a decent team if they wanted to. Like, it just takes getting the right talent.
Gas, no breaks, though, Jimmy. All gas, no breaks.
I can't. I still don't like the fact that you guys beat them, and then they beat us, and then we beat you, and it just doesn't feel.
It's right. A circle of life, yeah.
Okay, that's gonna bring us to the end of episode 82 of the Far End of the Bench podcast. Thank you guys for listening. Like we mentioned, we'll be back Friday with our second episode, releasing two episodes a week during the NHL and NBA playoffs, so that we can keep you guys as up to date as possible. We're going to be watching the Nuggets game Wednesday night, hoping that they extend the series, maybe another game, give us a little bit more pride, but they were able to avoid the sweep, and that's all we cared about. Nikola Jokic didn't get swept in his back-to-back MVP seasons. We'll also be talking NHL playoffs, because by the time we're recording that one, that regular season will have come to an end, and we'll have the solidified playoff brackets moving forward. Follow at FEOTB Pod, all social medias, wherever you're listening. Be sure to follow, leave a 5-star rating and a review. New episodes coming out the following weeks will be Wednesday and Friday, and we'll be trying to keep you guys up to date with as much stuff as possible. Nick, what's your prediction? Give us a very quick prediction before we go. Denver Nuggets, Gold State Warriors, game 6. Do we get to game 7?
Nuggets force a game 7, and so does Toronto. And Jokic narrative gets to push so fucking hard against Philly fans.
There you go. For that, episode 82, Far End of the Bench podcast. For myself, Jimmy Pilato, my co-host, Nick O'Brien, thank you guys for listening. We will see you next week.
Peace.
This is the blues I'm playing. Yes, it's a fine old thing. When the night is cold and lonely,
this is a dollar bill piece.
Was it the money that made me a savage? Popping them prices, I made it a habit. Towing them pistols and serving them addicts.